I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on AM 1170, The Answer. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com. Today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome Cass Anvar of The Expanse. Mr. Anvar is an accomplished actor who's appeared in such series as 24, Boston Legal, Castle, and the Academy Award-winning film Argo. Over the next segment, Cass Anvar will talk about starring as a hotshot pilot in the epic space drama series The Expanse, which airs Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on Sci-Fi. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to co-pilot the TV Time Machine, feel free to order warp drive as we escape velocity from the past in order to voyage into the vast expanse of the future. Cass, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
It's my pleasure, Jim. How y'all doing?
Fine. Now, Cass, tell us what The Expanse is all about.
Oh gosh, where to start? This is an epic journey. They're calling this show a space opera due to the epic nature of its show. It's not like a formulaic kind of every week you have like a beginning, middle, and end type of show. This is a space novel in television form. It's set about 200-300 years in the future. Earth has just kind of reached out and colonized a part of our solar system. Stretching our resources and our technology right to the limits, really braving the hostile environment of space as far as we can get out. We've got a colony on the moon. We've got a colony on Mars, about 25 million people there. And then we've got colonies out in the asteroid belt right between Saturn and Jupiter. And that's about as far as we can go because technology just, it is not easy to travel in space when you are working with real science, which is what we are doing in the show. We really tried to respect as much as possible the reality of physics and science of our world and universe. And within this new colonization of space, we have three separate worlds that we explore in the show. One is the world of Earth and the United Nations, which is now the governing force of the Earth, which is about 20 billion people. And then you've got this film noir kind of detective world on one of the main asteroids that is populated out there, which is run kind of by our star, Thomas Jane, who plays this Humphrey Bogart fedora sporting type of film noir detective on this quest for this missing girl that takes them all across the solar system. And then you've got the world of the Canterbury, which is a ship. And it's a really interesting ship because it's about 300 years old. It's beaten up. It's a rust bucket. It's falling apart. And it's run by a misfit crew, which I'm a part of. I play the fighter pilot, Alex Kamal, who is a Mars-born, Mars Navy fighter pilot of East Indian Pakistani descent with a Texas accent.
Okay.
And so he's a bit of an interesting mutt, kind of like myself. And we're kind of like the most dangerous catch of space. We're like the ice-hauling oil rig workers and crab fishermen of space who are out there like harvesting ice and selling it, and it's an incredibly dangerous, brutal job. People get hurt and injured, and everyone on that ship is running from something. They've all got some damage in their life. They're all trying to hide. They're all trying to be loners. We're scruffy, dirty, bearded, sweaty people on that ship. So it's a really big world in Expanse. You've got those three separate worlds, three separate stories that are all converging as the season progresses to eventually come together.
Well, in terms of converging, would it be safe to say that a lot of the problems and conflicts that exist on Earth have now been projected into space?
Yeah, that's a very good way to see it. I mean, in our world of Expanse, the Earth has kind of done away with racism. It's kind of found some kind of balance. There's not the kind of poverty and homelessness, and we've unified as a world and then sent out colonies in space. And as colonies are wont to do, they start to become resentful of the home planet, and tensions start to mount. So, yeah, we've done away with our problems back home, but we just recreate them on a grander scale. So instead of racism, we now have planetism. And that's like a little term that I coined. You've got Mars and the Belters, we call people working in the asteroid belt Belters. they start to become very resentful of each other because they're trying to become independent. The Belters are the hardworking blue-collar workforce of the solar system, and they're getting exploited by Earth and Mars, and they're not getting their fair shake. They're doing all the hard work. They're providing all the air and the water, and yet they are living in squalor. They don't have a planet of their own. They have to suffer because they have no gravity, and so their bodies are not even growing and developing properly. And then you have Mars that has become a military force, a superpower in the solar system. Even with 25 million people, it has become a massive military force that could threaten the 20 billion people on planet Earth. One of the amazing things about this show, which was kind of interesting to me, is that once you get to the level of being a planetary force that has an interstellar kind of capabilities, world destruction and weapons of mass destruction become amazingly available in the form of asteroids. You guide a couple of asteroids onto a planet, and you're talking about world-wrecking. Very simply, like as soon as you have a certain level of technology, you are now capable of wreaking mass destruction on each other, much more simply than we ever thought possible. So it's a very tense and exciting environment.
So tell us more about your character, Alex. You told us about his background, but what kind of guy is he? Is he sort of a hotshot pilot?
Alex is a really interesting character. He's a guy who grew up on Mars. All he could ever dream of being is behind the stick of a spaceship. He just wants to pilot. Incredibly smart, gifted pilot. For whatever reason in his life, he never managed to get behind the wheel of those sexy fighter pilot ships in the Navy. He ended up as a freight pilot. He was shipping freight to and from different planets and asteroids until we get into the series and circumstances conspire to throw our whole team into a storm, not of our own making, that we all have to step up to the plate and in order to survive. And Alex goes from being this kind of laid-back, loner kind of freight pilot, and he has to become the hotshot fighter pilot that he always wanted to be in order to save himself and the friends that he's growing to love and care for on his ship. He has to really realize his potential and become that guy, which is a lot of fun to watch. He's very laid-back. He likes to crack wise a lot. His Texas side comes out a lot. He likes to bring out these little Texas witticisms when the heat is getting too high and people are starting to stress out. He tries to calm them down and crack a joke once in a while and make sure they stay on track and not lose perspective. So he's a fun guy to be around.
Cass, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Very much. Pleasure was all mine.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
Is Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time.